They're two happy women bringing you inspiring stories, politics, pop culture, and lifestyle hacks, all with an eye to making our communities and our country a better place to live. It's the Happy Women Podcast with your hosts, Jen Horn and Katie Gorka.
Thanks for joining us and welcome to the Happy Women Podcast, episode number 3 already. We're so excited to have you. I'm Jennifer Horn.
I'm Katie Gorka.
And we're the Happy Women, and we have a huge episode planned for you today. One of my friends, when I knew that we were doing this podcast, Katie, I was like, who was the first person I said we have to talk to?
Sonia Shaw.
I did. I said, she is the epitome of what this podcast is about people who are trying to do the right things for the right reasons and keep the right attitude to make real change that impacts all of us. And so I'm really happy. If you have not heard of Sonia Shaw, she is the president of the Chino Valley Unified School District, but she's so much more than that. And she's become a real fighter in our state. And really, quite frankly, she is catching on across the country. If you're interested in learning more about Sonia, you find her at Sonia Shaw 2022 on X and Sonia Shaw 2026, a lot of years in there, on Instagram. Sonia Shaw, welcome to the Happy Women Podcast.
Thank you for having me. You know how much I love you.
Well, it's so funny because we met and just sort of connected because I can see that you've got like this amazing heart and you have such an incredible story. And so since we have some time today, I'd really like to tell it to people because we can spread out. So tell people about your history, because I think it all leads up to how you got politically engaged.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you just roll it back a little bit, I didn't grow up with involved parents, so to say. My dad is from another country. My mom died when I was really young. My dad was just trying to make ends meet, which meant that, you know, me and my brother and sisters were just left to kind of survive, right? I call it survival mode. But with that said, I always wanted to grow up and just be a mom who was there and to provide everything that I didn't have and my siblings didn't have when we were younger. And with that said, I was always in the classroom volunteering, very hands-on, making sure that, you know, I was there for not only my children, but other children, because I knew my kids were fortunate enough to have parents involved, but there's a lot of kids like myself, right? And like my siblings. With that said, when the world shut down, I feel like there was some silver lining. God revealed a lot of things. And that's why I kind of got involved. I did not know what a school board was. I was not an involved voter like I should have been. A lot of things I just did not know. I was just going on. Me and my husband were just, you know, just being a regular family, not really looking around what was happening. And then when that shutdown happened, a lot of things were revealed. Long story short, I saw firsthand what a school board was. I saw firsthand what the majority was voting on and for. And we knew something had to change. So I led a parent group, grassroots parent group here. We connected with other parent groups. And when the election came, I never intended to run because we were learning trustee areas and we were just trying to find two candidates. And we found one candidate. Long story short, I came home from a State of the City event, which I have one later on this afternoon. I didn't even know what that was. I got invited because somebody said, thank you for fighting for our kids. We want to invite you to an event. Met someone in the GOP for our central committee. She said, you guys need two candidates. You can't just have one, because I told her we had one. I went home. I told all the moms and the one dad on a Zoom saying, pull out your addresses. And I told our mom, Kelly, pull out the maps. She learned how to read the maps. And we went through everybody's address. I said, one of you lives here. One of you is going to run. And we get down to the list. And the last person was me. And I was on the line, literally on the line. We thought I wasn't even there. And long story short, as parents ran, we not only won one seat, but we won both seats. Our majority of our school board does have the voice for the parents. And here we are. We're just doing the work that we need to for our kids. Obviously, we're up against some big giants, but I feel like the people have a chance to win this for our children if we just keep linking arms.
So I'd love to ask a question. Going back to what first motivated you to get involved, can you just go a little bit deeper, say a little bit more about what you were seeing that you found so distressing?
Yeah, so I have two girls, and one was in elementary, fifth grade, and the other one was in junior high, seventh grade. And just with a little bit of shutdown during that time, I saw my seventh grader, never had a Zoom class, just paperwork was uploaded to a Google Classroom, and it was just busy work. Never once did, and I don't knock teachers because I love a lot of teachers, but there was not one video recording, nothing. It was like these kids were just left alone behind a screen. Where on the other side, I will have to say my fifth grader had a whole different experience. I mean, it went from her teacher fighting to keep on Zoom because they were trying to threaten to take out Zoom because, you know, of people doing bad things on Zoom. But she had a good experience for what we had. But seeing both of their experiences got a lot of parents online. And then I saw online, not from my children, but from other children's classrooms all over California, including our own district, some very disturbing things that were being taught to kids. And I was like, this is not okay. And then you had I pulled my kids out, put them in a charter school that was in person while the whole world was shutting down schools. You had a few brave people lead the charge and keep kids in person, right? So I would drive 45 minutes in traffic, drop them off in Rancho Cucamonga and drive 45 minutes and pick them up because I knew it wasn't healthy for my kids. But I knew that my kids were not the majority that had that opportunity. So it was hurting me seeing all the other stories. You had some really disturbing, I call it sexually explicit material or ideologies being brought into, you know, the parents having a front row seat on things. And I'm not dissing our district because I know our district is a pretty good district with the majority of great teachers. But let's be real, there is the few of them that aren't. And that really got me thinking, like, this cannot happen. Then you see the whole world go back to vacationing, traveling. And then schools are still shut down here in California. And here's our joke of a governor patting himself on the back, right? And threatening school districts for pulling funding or whatever it may have been. And I'm like, everybody was pointing the finger. Nobody wanted to take responsibility. I mean, we did the most craziest things as in setting up booths, and I say us as parents, we would set booths up at local restaurants and say, fill out this tort claim. I don't know if you guys know what a tort claim is, but it's something that you can fill out if the government is hurt. You say that they're hurting you in certain ways. And I'm like, they're hurting kids, right? So we would have them parents fill out all these tort claims because kids were being hurt. And then we would, I remember one time me and a mom got in a car and, you know, we're kind of far from San Bernardino County. And we went to the health department because the school district was blaming it on the health department. The health department was blaming it on the county. The county was blaming it on the state. And we were like, one of you has to take responsibility for the mental health crisis that you've all created now. And we got the county to pretty much say that they weren't responsible for keeping the schools and the masks on the kids. And I'm like, well, there you go, school district. The county's saying that they're not enforcing you guys to make sure that this is happening to kids. Mind you, my kids, besides the first few weeks of before we knew anything, did wear a mask, you know, if we went out because we were required. But other than that, I found out real quick and I'm like, we're not going to follow this. But my heart hurt because as my kids were safe and they were thriving, I saw other kids suffering. And then I saw kids being put outside because they refused to wear a mask when the whole world was back to normal. And these kids were young as 5-year-olds being put outside in the rain, denied education. And to me, that's when I said, I mean, I get chills even thinking about the horror stories that parents would write to me and these beautiful children just looking at us like, save me, right? And I'm like, I can't sit back. Like, yes, my kids are good, but people need help and we need to be the voice and we need to fight the good fight. And we did, we tried every which way. And eventually you saw, you know, the state is, there's still lawsuits of what they did to the kids and the kids are still feeling the damage.
Of course.
But yeah, there's a
multitude. And I think they're going to continue to feel that damage. I mean, you have a group of kids in California, at least where we, Sonia and I are in California, Katie, you're in Virginia, but you had kids who were out of school for almost 2 years. And that's a huge piece of their development. So many things that were missed. And what's interesting is that when you start to raise a little hell, you start to get noticed by the government in Sacramento because there aren't very many people who are naysayers. People just go along to get along in the state of California. And So I can remember I host the Morning Answer in Los Angeles, and I'm on the air one day, literally, I think it's like 6:30. And we hear the story of this president of the Chino Valley Unified School District who has the superintendent of schools in her board meeting from Sacramento. He's down in her board meeting, and she shushes him and kicks him out of the meeting. And I thought, I need to know this girl. And I think that day we reached out to you, Sonia, and had you on the air like in the next half hour. Tell people about that. Because if you're outside of the state, you may not have seen it, but this is someone who is such a fighter that stands up against the head of all schools because he was being inappropriate.
Absolutely. And there's history with Tony Thurman, our state superintendent. We reached out to him as parents. I mean, even for like the bus driver shortage and teacher shortage, we were always trying to come up with being part of the solution. We never just wanted to complain. And that's the way I led our group too, is like, we have to have solutions, guys. We're not going to just sit here and complain about something. We're going to find solutions and offer ourselves to be part of the solution, right? Because that's, I'm a big believer of, if you're going to want something fixed, be part of it. And so there's a long history with Tony Thurman, and Tony Thurman obviously is connected to everything that we're against, including the unions. Long story short, he actually came down his throne to come walk with the people that we were running against, like the state superintendent walking against parents. Like when we were reaching out to you, asking you for help. And then here you are now telling us no. And I don't even want you having a seat at the table. I'm going to make sure the person that you guys are running against gets elected. So long story short, I knew he was coming to our meeting only because two things. The news told me, what's your thoughts about Tony showing up to your meeting? And I'm like, oh, so he's coming. And number two, later in the day, of course, I care about the security of him and others. And we made sure he had a room that was secure and he had front row seating. He requested to go first to speak. But in the long run, I had told our superintendent, if you ever get bullied or they ever call you and they try to sway you another way, you're to give them my personal cell and I'll take care of it. I don't want you to take the heat, right? So during the middle of the day, our superintendent got that cute little call from Tony and he gave him my personal cell. But long story short, Tony came there with a mission. He's against parents being involved. He made it very clear. He had his 1 minute to speak. I let him go first. And I'm not saying but the president does have the say on yes or no, you can do this or that. Right. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to be fair. I respect people in their positions that they were elected in. And we allowed all that stuff to go on, but then I did a point of order to say, thank you for coming, but I'm sorry, we're in this position because of people like you. You're over there in Sacramento, and I'll say it again, pushing perversion on children. And I believe that in my heart, and so do a lot of parents. And he didn't like that. So he tried to get up and call a point of order. He didn't ask for one, by the way. He tried to demand one, and I'm like, no, heck no. I go to Sacramento and testify on bills, and you guys do some crazy things to cut down our time and treat us, you know, unfairly. You're not going to come here and dictate our meeting. This is our meeting. You're not the Board of Education here in Chino. You were not elected here in Chino. And I told him to have a seat, and he didn't want to have a seat. So, I mean, he probably had more mercy than most people, because most people would have just been escorted out right away. But he refused. And guess where he went after? The classroom that our security gave to him so he can go lie to the media and try to spin all this stuff calling us extremists. And Jennifer, I still say this, extreme for what? Wanting parents involved? Like, let's really look at the root of the issues that I've been fighting on, for taking sexually explicit material out of the hands of kids, for making sure classrooms aren't politically charged. I mean, I'm the big bad wolf, right? Like, that's so weird. It's so crazy to me, but I'm glad that they do these things, because I really believe in my heart, normal day-to-day people like myself, a few years ago, are waking up and they're saying, what the heck is happening? Why doesn't he want us involved, right? Yeah. So every time they open their mouth, I'm like, you just gave us another gift. You just gave us another fighter in the fight. Like, good job.
So when I said you ruffled feathers, it wasn't just the superintendent, Tony Thurman. You actually have taken the heat now from even the Attorney General of California. I mean, imagine this. You have a person who is not politically involved, sees what's going on in the schools, jumps into the fight, and manages to do some good to protect parents and to protect kids and to get things going in the right direction. And guess what happens? Now you've got the Attorney General, Rob Bonta from California, on your doorstep. Tell people about that and what's been going on, because they're trying to intimidate good people from doing good things.
Absolutely. No district in the history of all districts, especially superintendents, want to get a message from Rob Bonta, the state of Department of Education. But they sent those threatening letters. They opened investigations on us. They used every ed code, twisted it around to, you know, try to go through every single text message, every single email, which, by the way, if they had something on us, they would have thrown it out there already. Right. Torturing us. And I think it's really sad because you see Bonta now suing our district, but also threatening other districts for wanting to, you know, let parents have their constitutional right in the upbringing of their children. He's been on record calling parents dangerous. He's been on record saying that kids have privacy over their parents, which that's not true. The guidelines put in place for privacy were never intended to use against parents. It was used against third party and government like himself. So I find it very ironic that he's doing this. And now, you know, I think what's really sad is, and people need to realize, he's using our tax dollars against parents for being notified on something that their child is going through. And he thinks he has a right to tell parents, no, you have a right to know on this, but you don't have a right to know on this. And he's made it very clear that that is the hill he's going to die on. And I think we've made it very clear this is the hill we're going to die on. We've seen him last week try to spin some media and, again, do some grandstanding, which we're like, no, Bonta, we're not giving in. We never threw in the towel. We're just beating you at your own game, allowing parents to be involved. And that is their constitutional right. I mean, it doesn't stop there. They use everything possible to try to come after you, right? I've never seen him come on and say that he is condemning the threats on my family and my kids. What about my kids are students in public school, right?
And that's a regular thing for you. Your kids get threatened. I mean, that's something to really point out. For your bravery, your kids and your family, you've got to keep an extra eye out.
The last one was 3 weeks ago. It came in the mail. And they said something along the lines like, we know where you live. Obviously, they sent it to my home. We know where your kids are or something. You're not safe. Your kids are not safe. Get ready. Let's play a game or something along the lines of that. And I'm like, it's so disgusting, right? Because in the end, I know what they're doing. The state's come after you. These people are coming after us. I don't know if you guys saw what Meta did to me. They labeled me and Nick Wilson the only ones that they labeled as on social media. When people would search up our name, it would say that we were associated with child sex abuse. And I mean, how is that okay? Like, that is the craziest thing. And it made me sick to my stomach to think they don't have a limit on where they stop, right? And they know they can get away with it. Because us normal day-to-day people don't have access to all these big dollars and all this funding to fight the good fight. But I still think what they're doing is exposing themselves. I wouldn't be surprised if they come busting through my door and pretending that, you know, I did this or that or the other. I don't think they have a limit. And I say that, obviously, I'm not scared because I know what I'm fighting for and I know who I'm trying to protect. But I wish people would understand this is how bad they want control of our youth. This is how bad they don't want parents involved. This is how bad they want to push the ideology into the school system because they know the majority of kids go to public schools. And I just wish and hope and pray that more parents wake up. And if you can't take your kids out, you're involved. You are looking at their assignments, because even in our district, I'm sitting there like, I cannot believe you're having to write on this. Let's turn it around and we're going to write about this. Right. Mm-hmm. But I'm there to guide my kids and explain to them and make sure that their minds aren't, you know, indoctrinated by this ideology that's being pushed. But in the end, I really think all these things, hopefully, prayfully, are waking up more parents to see that their children are in danger. I really believe they're in danger. I mean,
Sonia, I'd love to ask you to go a little bit deeper. So you said something earlier that when you first got started in this, you all tried a lot of different things and it was a real learning experience. Go a little bit deeper into what are some of the things that you ultimately found to be most effective?
Showing up, always showing up, never, ever giving up, never, ever thinking, letting them for 1 second think that you threw in the towel, being consistent, always trying to provide a solution, right? And I think if you are consistently showing up, even now, I'll say this out loud, our parents are comfortable. They think that, you know, they got the majority in, we're good. But you see the vicious side that's coming and attacking us all the time, they want to wear you out. I would say stay involved, right? Like, find ways to tie up their, I mean, we tied up their system. We would do formal complaints. We knew that they had to process them. We legit had complaints. We knew the system was against us, but we used their time to make our point proven that you are hurting our kids, right? We're going to put it in writing. We're going to prove that you did this. And we did all those things. We showed up every meeting. We made sure parents had great talking points and great solutions. We made sure, you know, we sent emails. We made sure that we were having events in the community just to inform people. Like, you have a big majority of our community that may not, you know, speak English. So it's very important to get parents out in other languages to make sure that they're telling the kid what their kids are facing. And I
I'd love to know more about that specifically, because so I'm in Fairfax County and we're facing all the same problems. You know, we have a huge school district. I think we're 10th largest in the country, something like a $3.4 billion budget. And they're doing crazy things, crazy things. And I think most people have no idea. And we also have a very large immigrant population. So 30% of the citizens in Fairfax County were not born here. And so one of the challenges, how do we reach them and let them know what's going on in the schools? So I'd love to know more about how you were able to inform other parents, like even get into the details, like how did you build these events and did people come? Did parents come?
Yeah. Okay. So I think the election was kind of a blessing because it allowed us to do a lot of these things on a bigger scale and get the message across, because we had a solution for change. We have two candidates that are running to protect the kids. So what we did is we connected with parents. I mean, we have all kinds of different parents, you know, from different religions, different languages. And I would host like a taco party next to my house at a park or something. And, you know, we would say, or a potluck even. And then we would talk to these parents. And then the parents that, you know, had dual languages, they would go out. And when we would go knocking and walking, we knew, like, you know, getting the data from your, you know, your ROV or whatever, that, okay, this area is this is more populated, you know, with speaking Spanish, and this one is Mandarin. So we would make sure those parents that were able to speak that language would be able to go either with me or another parent in case, you know, there was that barrier where we couldn't provide, you know, the information in their native language. So we were very strategic when it came to making sure that each area had people to represent them in that, in what we were trying to fight for. I have to say, just getting people together and actually, which I think is beautiful, when you give them, you know, purpose to be able to be part of it, that's where you gain your people to really spread the message. Because if you're just going around and you're holding an event and it's just you talking, okay, whatever, it just gets redundant. And it's like, okay, we heard her, we know what she's saying. But if now you let people be part of that, because they are part of it, let's think about this. Their kids are part of what's happening. Even our homeschool moms, they played a huge part in helping us, because there's a reason why they pulled their kids out. And that reason needed to be told to the community. Like, look, I don't want to homeschool my kids, but I did because I knew I had to. And this is why, right? But we can kind of change this if we get these people in to give us a voice and stop this from coming in. Yeah. So when we knocked and walked, we had, I want to say, over 10,000 houses we were supposed to cover. We did it all plus some. Like, we had parents. I would be walking and knocking 2 to 6 hours a day because I believed in our message. I believed in our purpose. And I knew we could not afford to send mailers every day like the people that we were running against. I knew we couldn't do Fox 11 news commercial on the local level or Comcast commercials or Spectrum commercials because we didn't have that money, right? We weren't tied into Act Blue to get all this money and this crazy things coming in. But we had our ability to walk, knock, and spread the message. And that's where we beat them because we would see paid knockers walking in the same neighborhoods we were. And we were like, they were mostly college students making what, 18 to 20 bucks an hour, easy money to go put a flyer on the door. Now you think about this. If a parent opens the door and they see a grandparent, an uncle, aunt, me, kids, even students wanted to walk with us, you would see us or you would see a high college student just wanting to give you a flyer, not knowing even what they're doing. Who do you think that people are going to open up more to? I mean, people want to hear personal things that are going on, right? And they relate to them. And that's where I think the crazy left will never, ever win us at our game. We just have to be smart enough and be willing to put in the work. If we're willing to put in the work, it'll work.
One of the things that I think is really important to underscore in this conversation, too, is that even in a state like California, when things feel hopeless, we have a great assemblyman who I know that you work with, Bill Asaley, who represents the 63rd Assembly District in California, which is near you, Sonia, Chino Valley. And he would tell you that Republicans are grossly outnumbered in the state assembly and the state Senate in California. But he says he still makes people take a vote. So he tries to smoke them out, even though he knows he's not going to win. So he created this bill that required that school districts had 3 days, and schools had 3 days to tell parents if their kids were going to change their gender from birth, or if they were going to call themselves a new name or change their pronoun or use a different bathroom. Seems reasonable. It's 3 days and you have to notify parents about big changes with your children. Well, of course, the state legislature throws that down. So he goes school district to school district. And so you are one of the first districts, maybe even the first, that adapted this policy as part of the rules of your particular district. This is going to be something that California is going to vote on in November. And of course, Sacramento is trying to change this to take away transgender rights rule or something like that instead of give parents rights. It's always about the naming. But tell us about how that's working out, if it's popular with your parents, because this is going to be a big issue moving into November, at least for those of us in the state of California.
Absolutely. And I think what Bill did is exactly what his parents do. Get them on record. Yep. Let them be exposed. You may not get that bill, which we know you're not going to in California, but be bold enough to expose the wickedness, because if you don't, most people will never, ever know, right? Mm-hmm. And I think Bill has the right way of doing things. And look, parents are behind him. They love him. We respect him. We, we're backing him up. Even though he's not probably the most, what you want to call, successful legislator up there because his bills are being ignored, he is gaining the popularity of parents because he's our voice, right? And he's one of the very few. So I'll say that is amazing. Now, protectkidsca.com, that's where we can take it back into our own hands. And you have people working tirelessly, parents, you know, gathering signatures. And I think the new update is, I think we were about halfway there, 250,000 signatures, which we know that you need, obviously a well over 500,000. But the point is Bonta now used his, dictatorship powers, and he renamed the ballot initiative, which scared people off, which it's not fair. Like, think about it. If they really thought they had the people on their side, they would let it go to the ballot. Fair and square. Who cares? Let it go. Why are you so afraid of listening to the people's voice? You serve us, right? We elect you. So why are you so afraid of it going on the ballot? Because they know the people want parents involved. They don't want this crazy ideologies pushed in. They don't want boys and girls sports and girls and boys sports, whatever it may be, in the locker rooms. They don't want to stop because hospitals and clinics are making way too much money with, pushing all this crap on the kids. I hate to say that, but it is. So they have an agenda to try to push us looking like we're crazy and we're restricting people's rights, when in reality, we're just saying parents need to be notified and this needs to stop. Now, you know, God willing, we get the signatures. But if not, I think what's beautiful is you see people now being part of it. They're aware of it. They have the opportunity to know now. So to me, every time you have people part of it and the opportunity to know, those are more active voters, right? I think that's where people that have values and don't want to break up the family, that's where we lose, because we are involved in our families and raising kids and doing the right thing and being productive, responsible adults. We don't always show up to the polls. But I think now needs to be the message. Part of being a responsible adult needs to be showing up to the polls, because we're allowing them to do this. And if we don't use our, you know, rights to vote and vote these people out, then we are actually now part of the problem knowing. And once you know, you can never unknow, right? So I think no matter what's happening, I still say, you know, I'm so grateful that everybody is collecting signatures. We still have a chance. People should not give up. They should be going full force right now, collecting those signatures. I believe in my heart we can reach that target if we all work together. But in the meantime, I'm very grateful that people are spreading the message, because again, that's where we win. Our boots on the ground. They will never outbeat us with that.
One of the big challenges for the parents movement is that there is so much money lined up on the other side. I did a study on this with one of my colleagues at the Heritage Foundation on the role that philanthropy has played. It's quite shocking. We think of philanthropy as being kind of a benign influence in this country, but it's not at all. These big, large foundations are pouring millions of dollars into these campaigns, and that's one of the things that parents are up against. And I think it's a useful tool as you fight, is doing the research on who's pouring money into these campaigns and letting parents know. That's why it's so important that we have to be an army fighting back, because it's not an even playing field. And the only thing that we have going for our side is our numbers, right? And our love for our children and our desire to protect our children.
I agree, Katie. And to be quite honest with you, you just hit it on the head, because it is true. And that's what we are up against, is the big money. You see, like I said, Act Blue, the unions, Planned Parenthood, even, you know, party lines. You'll have great people that will want to run for positions and be part of the change. But because you don't have those big names behind you, you're not even looked at. You're just overlooked, even though they know that you can gain the people. You have the right message. But the problem is there's so much big dollars in this. There's so much buy-in into it with these big corporations, because they have, they're winning something else for what they're doing, right? So they dump the money into these candidates, and then they essentially, what I call, they own these candidates, right? These candidates now feel like they're bought and they have to vote a certain way. And let's be real, without trying to throw people under the bus, it happens all over the place, and it makes it really it feels like defeat to people who just want to do the right thing. Because us parents here in Chino, our local union dumped in around $30,000 for each candidate. That's in a pack, so it's almost undiscoverable unless you know how to look up the packs, right? And then you had that person spend $125,000 to run against a soccer mom. Like, go make that make sense, right? And yes, you had, you know, people that had businesses and whatever that saw that and tried to get us an even playing field, but we didn't even get up around half of what they had. And we worked hard, right? But like I said, the only way we won was because of our boots on the ground. It wasn't because we can compete in Mellors. It wasn't because we can compete in this, that, the other. We did the most untraditional things that I don't think are done very many places. We had, I would love to see this more. We had cars meet us at a local park, 30 cars deep, parents. We would tape our yard signs on the cars. We would write in that, you know, that chalk, the shoe chalk or whatever.
Yeah.
On the window, when you put Shaw, you know, voice of the parents, we would roll down the back windows. The kids wanted to come and be part of it because it was like a parade. And we would just go around the neighborhood and go around the city where it was busy, and people would see the name, right? Or like the morning that you're allowed to put yard signs, plaster your city with it, because let's be real, people remember names. So the first thing I got when we were parents, we didn't know, we didn't have anybody like that was saying, you can't do this, you can't do this. Of course you had guidance, but in reality, we were running our race. And we plastered that city. I had people reach out like, I didn't know who you were. Then I looked you up and I saw this. And it was like, people are intrigued by just seeing names everywhere because they don't usually see that, right? And then they want to know. Curiosity is how us humans work. And I think, you know, doing those untraditional things is where parents can win because those come from the heart. It's not like we had money behind us telling us to go put 99-cent store. Now it's a $1.25 store.
Thank you, Joe Biden.
putting shoe chalk on a car. Like most people would look at that and like, what the heck are these idiots doing, right? And we're like, no, we're telling parents we're out there and we want their vote. Like we're working for their vote to protect our kids. And I think that's what we need to do more of is don't look at if we listen to the big traditional ways of getting elected. I'm not saying that these people don't know what they're doing. Obviously, I respect everybody's position and their amount of, you know, schooling that they got to get to where they are. But let's be real. Parents like us will not be in these positions. The Nick Wilsons, the Sonia Shaws, all these people that just have heart, right? If we just do traditional things, we got to use our heart. We have to make sure that we get the message across. And I think when we do that is when our kids win because that's people see that. They see genuineness. We're never going to get the big dogs to put all the money behind us because we're not bought. They're not going to control us. And they don't like that. And they know we know what they're about. And it's that delicate balance where they don't want us to go off the deep end and say what we know, right? And I'm probably saying too much right now, but it's true. Read in between the lines.
Yeah.
But in the long run, you get the people. And once we get
the
people,
what matters.
We win.
So just real quick, because we have just 30 seconds left. What inspires you when people throw everything at you, Sonia? When people, you've got Attorney General Rob Bonta wanting to sue you and you've got people threatening your kids. What keeps you going?
Without getting emotional, because that's a very heart tugging thing, because there's many days I get the chills to think like it would just be easier to go back to my normal life, right? Like my normal old life, my kids, my normal old kid life with my kids, my family, my husband. But when I see these beautiful children and I know too much to see what is right there in front of them trying to hurt them, I can't sleep at night. I will never be able to say wherever God takes me, I won't be able to fight for kids because I know the dangers that they're up against. And just seeing their innocence, their beauty, just seeing how they have so much opportunity to thrive and become leaders themselves, I will continue to fight for them because that is where hope comes from. They want our kids because they want to control the future. They know our kids are the future. They want their minds. And I will never be able to throw down and say, I'm done. You have me. You got to take me to my grave before I give up the fight for the kids. And that's the truth. My family's in it. I'm not going to say it's not hard. It gets very hard. It gets very rough. But we get on our knees and we give it back to God. And I know that he'll provide the way to make sure that we fight the good fight for our kids.
Absolutely. Sonia Shaw, thanks so much for being with us. You are the epitome of what we want to represent, what we want to inspire people with on this podcast. If you'd like to follow Sonia, Sonia Shaw 2022 on X, Sonia Shaw 2026 on Instagram, do give her a follow. She's doing incredible stuff. She is a warrior, to be sure, a happy warrior. Sonia, thanks so much. And thank you all for being with us. It's the Happy Women Podcast. We ask you to download, share, like, leave a review. Leave us a comment. We're reading all of them. And thanks so much for being with us on the Happy Women Podcast.